We Talk Podcast presents...
Ladies and gentlemen, after three rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for a decision. All three judges score this contest 29-27 for the winner by unanimous decision, Brock Lesnar!
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, you know, we are in Calgary doing this pod. It's been Stampede week. Both of the two of us have been busy, and I like to kind of break the fourth wall for people. It's midnight, but you know, One Fall fans, we love you so damn much, we had to get this out.
Yeah, one of us is very, very, very tired. One of us is extremely tired, but we gotta do it.
Gotta get
pro wrestling. So
yeah, and to quote like Jalen Rose, gotta give the people what they want, you know. And we appreciate all the extra downloads and all the love on the social media lately for those that are been listening to it. Before we start, make sure you follow us. This is very important for this week, especially with the draft. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. One Fall Pod, and make sure you follow our Instagram at One Fall Pod. Make sure you follow Stick Boy. Make sure you follow Fresh Take as well. But the other two, much more important as far as draft stuff. There might be some one or two things on Fresh Take, but Stick Boy and One Fall, make sure you're following all that, because come Tuesday, we are doing an absolute blowout with the draft. We will have pick by pick on our Instagram, on our Facebook, leading with analysis from both of us. And some other ideas. I was even thinking we may do some live videos for some of our fans on there. So a lot of stuff going in on Tuesday. Tuesday's a day that Joel and I have been waiting for since the very first podcast on here.
I think that was one of our dream podcasts, was that and CM Punk's return. And who would have guessed the draft would be the first thing that happens out of the two?
Yeah, I mean, there's really been two, and then kind of one was AJ eventually getting to WWE. When Joe got there, we started thinking maybe it's possible. But Punk and the draft were the two things, and we got one of them.
Yeah, and now we'll wait on the other one, but Tuesday we just got to enjoy and look forward to the madness that is Vincent Kennedy McMahon's creation.
But should we start with...
something that isn't Vincent Kennedy McMahon's creation?
Well, he kind of is, and that's Brock Lesnar fighting in the octagon once again, beat Mark Hunt, although he didn't win the second round like JBL claimed that he dominated every round. But Brock Lesnar wins his fight, beats Mark Hunt against the odds. I reluctantly picked it to pick Brock. Joel went with Mark Hunt, and Mo went with Brock confidently. Give Mo credit on that one. There was a lot of upsets on this. I didn't see Misha Tate losing at all. I just didn't see that happening. But now, Joel, the question is, what happens with Brock Lesnar?
Oh, Brock, I don't know. Here's the thing. This is the one thing that always sticks with me is Sable doesn't want Brock fighting.
She came out after the fight, though, which was cool.
Yeah, I think... I can see a world where she tells him no more after this, but if she looks at her bank account, or their bank account...
Well, yeah, because he made $2.5 million, and after everything comes in, it's looking like 10. The highest paid fighter before this was Connor, who barely made a million. Ronda, I don't think, has made a million yet either.
Yeah, I mean, props to Brock for getting paid. Props to Brock for just everything. Like, he went out there, proved me wrong, and he delivered, and this definitely affects contracts.
Mm-hmm. Because his contract is up with the WWE side of things, and I believe WrestleMania time?
Yeah. So, there's two ways this can play out. The first one is he stays with WWE because he works limited dates, he's not actually getting. There's no one across the ring trying to kill him.
He's 39.
Yep. So his prime for UFC is kind of past in some ways.
Although he looked really good, I think. I'll let you continue, and then I'll go.
I definitely think you do have a valid point that he could easily probably go in there, and he could probably win the world heavyweight title again.
Mm-hmm.
But just a part of me goes, we've seen it before where a guy just, like, he looks good, and in the next fight, it all falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
It could easily happen to that, but the other side of things is he could see... The competitiveness in him could see, want to know, can he do it again? Because what is there left for him to do in WWE? What else can he accomplish? And that's a big thing. I think a big thing with Brock. What more can he, what other feather can he put in his cap?
Mm-hmm.
UFC, he's got another feather to chase.
I wonder, the question now is if he gets another fight, and you have to look at two things on this is, does Vince want to take the gamble again?
I think Vince feels more confident.
Brock had the quote, Brock Lesnar does what Brock Lesnar wants. And we had talked about if he, because the big thing is going to be who wins this this heavyweight fight in Cleveland, right? And if Oster Overeem wins that, what do you do then? Do you have him face Cain Velasquez, or do you have him face Brock? Because Overeem was the last guy that beat Brock. And if you have, I don't know, the world, the switch around is a little fast because of that Cleveland show to the MSG show. But let's just, for booking's sake, say they do this. You could. Do you think you do the title shot at MSG, or do you do a number one contendership, Cain and Brock? I don't know if Vince would want to do the number one contendership. I think he would want him to go right for the title against in the title shot there. And that's where things get complicated, because if he wins the title, then you got to put the WWE strap on him. You have to. There's no question.
Here's the other thing that I think plays a big role in this, and this is something else we'll talk about, is the sale of UFC.
Mm-hmm.
I think that plays a
role. By Ronda Rousey's company.
Yeah.
Well, her the agency that it represents her.
Yeah. I think that plays a role in all of this because, mm-hmm. you know, the Fertittas may have one mindset, but these new guys might have a completely different. I think it also puts a lot of people's future kind of up in the air a little bit. I wonder where Punk goes. Because wasn't it the Fertittas and Dana White that met with him?
I would think that, you bring that up, I would think that his leash is definitely a lot shorter now.
Yeah.
Because I think Dana has sold his stocks, but is staying on as the figurehead, it looks like.
Yeah. There still need to be more solid details out there.
We're going to get to that in a second here, but just going back to Brock... if I'm Vince, I let him fight again. It only does your company good. He's arguably one of the top 5 or 10 athletes known in the world. He's up there with the LeBrons and the Ronaldos. And I would keep it going.
Oh, yeah. It's a cash cow that you can just keep going ka-ching, ka-ching, mm-hmm. ka-ching.
So, like, exactly. So why not, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's going to be very interesting how this all plays out because there's a lot of parties involved. There's a lot of things that can and might happen, and it's really all up in the air.
So if you do the fight, do you give him Overeem, or do you do the Cain fight? What's best for him?
Brock is go straight for the title. I wouldn't put him in the ring with Cain. If he can beat Overeem, mm-hmm. then Cain is the next one.
But, do you think Kane's more deserving of it, though? Cain won his fight at 200.
Yeah.
Pretty dominantly. But Brock, are we just taking the situation of what Mo always talks? Are we taking actual fighter rankings and saying screw with that and put putting revenue ahead of actual fighting?
Oh, yeah. And they've done that before where they put
for sure.
dollar signs ahead. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in any sport, if the NHL had a choice, they'd have the Blackhawks face the Penguins whenever they could.
or they'd have in the NBA, they'd have LeBron play as much as they could for Steph Curry. It's just the drawing power of situation, right? I mean, the NBA could have booked things. They would have had Kobe versus LeBron in the finals, but it never happened. Yeah. These are sports that have a chance to at least somewhat dictate what matchups they can have.
Yeah. I definitely think I could see a world where the UFC just puts a little rocket on Brock. And as long as Vince is cool with it and they think they can make money and that Brock has a chance, we'll promote the hell out of it.
I agree. I hope that he fights again because he looked really good. It's unfortunate, you know, you had to work and you had to miss it and you've cut maybe what some highlights, I think. Yeah. But I'll give Markham credit, man. You know, they have that old kind of racist term that, you know, Samoans have coconut heads. But, I mean, he did. He just wanted to go down.
Yeah, he did everything Brock said. And, like, I mean, this was a different Brock Lesnar. It had a different energy. It didn't feel like the... Because during some of his fights, he definitely felt like a... just an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
This felt like a very at peace person.
He did.
And I think that made a world of difference. I think if this was angry Brock, I don't think he even gets out of the second round.
He just seemed much more laser-focused, and even the interview he did after about unity and everything like that, you'd expected Brock to come on and just... Like, I was looking forward to the promo after with Joe Rogan. I thought he was going to talk a whole bunch of shit and been like, everyone doubted me and F you and F you, but he was really classy and everything. It was like, it's a much more humble Brock.
Yeah, I think the almost dying changed him.
Mm-hmm.
And it would change any person.
Now, the question is, how does this relate to him and WWE? I think both you and I were very disappointed in how he was used on Monday Night Raw. I thought you should have let it off. You should have made him dominant. And they just really showed a little part, and the part of the press conference didn't really bleed anything in. So now I'm kind of left wondering what happens to Brock. I think he's advertised for the draft, I believe.
I think so.
Where do we think he goes? Is he a top three pick? Yeah. I think you have to make him the number one pick, to be completely honest.
Yeah, he's legitimate ratings. He's ahead of everyone.
I would like, we're going to be doing our mock draft at the very end of this. And I don't think either one of us will take Brock number one. I think that's fair to say. But as far as booking, you have to make Brock the number one pick.
Yeah, but I have serious doubts they will.
I do too. I think there's about four contenders for it.
Yeah.
Cena, Seth, Dean, and Roman. And then I guess Brock's a wild card in that. But I don't see anyone else unless they're going to throw a wrench and put one of the women first, just to kind of put that out there.
Yeah, I could see them doing that.
But I think they'll put a markdown on one of those guys at the front there. But Brock is the right choice if you want to have people turn to the draft and they see Brock Lesnar's drafted number one. And it adds a little bit of seriousness to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Brock legitimizes whatever he does.
Exactly. So it'd be interesting to see him on if he is on the draft and how he's used and the build up with Randy Orton. Randy Orton put a picture up. He's back in the ring training now. What do you think about this matchup now as far as the UFC stuff has gone to connect it to the SummerSlam fight now?
I don't think Randy. It's going to be very interesting how you build it because it's hard. Like, Brock's going to win.
Mm hmm.
But it's going to be very interesting. Orton's a good in-ring worker. He's a veteran. He's, like, I mean, if you gave Roman a bunch of offense, you should give Randy a bunch of offense.
Because yeah.
Randy has the title reigns. He's been he was once top dog. He's got a finisher that can come out of nowhere. It's a guy that has a lot of seasoned history to him. That I think will help, but ultimately I think this won't be quite the Ragdoll Cena situation. This will be like Cena Brock 2 or Cena Brock 3, however you look at it. I think Orton gets in some offense, but I think ultimately Brock comes out on top.
I think so. I think the story with Joe, which I've been wanting, makes so much more sense because you could have been like, you hurt my Samoan brother and I'm coming for redemption and I'm going to knock you out. Then you could have told a really cool story with that. Like, Mark Hunt and Joe aren't connected, but you could have told, like, Samoan culture and the brotherhood that they always really like to build up, that they've done such a good job over their time. You could have built that in with Mark Hunt and Joe. But now that we're here, I think it's really a key of the RKO versus the Beast.
Yeah.
And you go in there and be like, Brock is going to destroy Randy, but he has the biggest out-of-nowhere finish-you-off move in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And if he hits that RKO, who knows what can happen. Yeah. Even Brock Lesnar can't prepare to be hit by that RKO.
It just is something. There's no, like, there's no way it wins, but it could be a fun build.
Because it'd be nice if you had a, like, there's going to be an RKO out of nowhere. Probably out of an F5, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And that's the spot you're going to get from Randy. But I think you have to have him dominant, and whatever brand he goes to, I think you need to put the belt on him pretty fast.
Yeah.
Daniel Cormier knows, and the rest of us know.
Yeah. It's just whether Vince and the rest know.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing, right? So, you mentioned it. UFC sold to a talent agency. I don't have the talent agency in front of me right now. But sold for $4 billion. And it's going to be very interesting. And you talk about a guy like Punk that we were just talking about before. I think a guy like him is on a shorter leash. And then someone like Ronda is on a much longer leash, and they're going to be looking out for her best interest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they own her agency, and they'll pick the mix. They could kind of dilute it and let her kind of pick who she wants to fight. If she wants to fight Amanda Nunes, they can send her right there. If she wants to have the rematch with Holly Holmes, they can send her right there. I think Tate is out now with the suspension, and I don't really think there's anything about Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey that appeals to anyone. Ronda knocked her out 2 times in a row and dominated her. Did she have the title? It added something for Tate and Ronda, but without the title, not so much.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, it's time that things... I think it's yeah, I think I totally agree with you. I think Ronda, this obviously helps Ronda, and yeah, Tate is out of the picture, and that's how quick UFC can change.
That woman's belt, man, is changing more times than the hardcore title, it seems like.
Yeah, 24-hour rule, Josh.
After, I mean, where do you think they put Amanda Nunes? Is it Ronda? Is it Holly Holm? Or is it maybe Cyborg? Or is there someone that we're not even thinking of?
It could easily be that, but I think it probably could be Holmes. Because she's still kind of doing...
She has a fight coming up, but I think she wins it, you would think that she would get it, right?
Yeah, but I still think the biggest money draw right now is Holmes, Ronda.
I agree. You kind of need the redemption rematch for her. If she beats Amanda Nunes, it's great, right? But, I mean, I guess you could tell the story... You do her and Amanda Nunes at that MSG show, and then Holly faces her maybe around New Year's, and it's can Ronda defend again this time.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much you want to put the belt on Ronda with if she only has 2 or 3 fights left.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I think you may just cash in and just go Holmes match and then Cyborg at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. It's weird. You kind of see a lot of these bigger draws winding down, like Anderson Silva. Good on him. You know, he was just kind of in Vegas with his family, and the John Jones stuff happened. He got dominated by Daniel Cormier, but he had 48 hours to prepare.
Yeah.
And it's just weird seeing some of these legends kind of go down. And, you know, it's I think this Conor fight is such a big deal with Nate that's coming up here. And Jose Aldo looked really good that I wonder how he's going to go. And one thing I wanted to ask you really quickly here, Joel, with the way that the purchase of the UFC for $4 billion, and we saw the $2.5 million for Brock, you got to think some of these athletes that they have are like, well, you just got sold for $4 billion. Why am I not getting payoffs that show something a little bit more? Because they're not even at, like, the you look at the salaries, especially the ones recently in the NBA. Andrew Luck just got an extension in the NFL recently, the NHL free agency. They're not even getting contracts that NHL players are getting.
Yeah, and that, like, I love hockey, but UFC is not no walk in the park, and there's a lot of risk in there, and it's a shame, and I think it has to take something big for that to change.
I agree. But I think the paydays, I think every athlete, if you're on the top of that card, if you're Ronda and Connor, you should be making at least $2 million, $3 million. And if you're Cain Velasquez, you should be around the 1.5 even.
Yeah.
Same with the Jose Aldo. You shouldn't be underneath that. You shouldn't be in that. When someone like Floyd Mayweather gets the money he does for boxing, boxing's nowhere near what the UFC is right now.
Yeah. I think it ultimately cuts into the overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to.
So what else do we think that this purchase can mean for the UFC? We know Dana's staying on. I think it impacts the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
We'll see how that happens. But what else do you look at with this purchase, Joel?
When I look at this purchase, I see a lot of ways it'll be business as usual. But in a lot of ways, I see that I think we'll see some changes. I mean, the formula's worked to this point. I don't see them messing around with it now. But I can see some minor tweaks and changes. I think the biggest impact this has is the fighters. This is that's the single biggest thing right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I don't fully know how this is going to play out for some of these guys.
I'm interested to see Dana. I mean, they say all the right things about how Dana's going to be used, but it'll be interesting as if he gets phased out down the stretch. And Joe Rogan said that when they were purchased, he would leave. So now we find out if Joe Rogan does indeed leave.
Yeah. Or they offer him more money and he sticks around.
Mm-hmm. What do you think happens with him?
I can see him leaving.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It'd be sad because I think Joe Rogan's such a big part of the product of the UFC.
Yeah. It's definitely like losing a big piece of that product that you're just so familiar with. When he leaves, yeah, it'll be very weird for the first little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, UFC, I'm sure there's more we could talk about, but like I said, this is midnight. We're rushing a little bit here. Monday Night Raw, should we talk about the final New Day Lesion?
Yeah, let's hit on it.
I don't think it was better than the final deletion, because there was just something organic and original about the New Deletion. And sure, you can say it ripped off Lucha Underground, but still, it was a little more different than some Lucha Underground stuff. And, you know, it was something that Matt Hardy had been discussing for a long time, and it was something different. Plus, it was a match. I don't know what the why thing. It was like something out of Saw and Blair Witch Project.
It really felt like that, yeah. I thought it was a well-done segment. I thought the Wyatts, like from a production standpoint, it was well-done.
Bray tried to murder somebody.
Yeah.
So attempted murder charges are going to be next Raw, right? From that axe shot?
Yeah. Yep.
You would hope.
Well, it's the world of pro wrestling, Josh.
I will give our my friend Dustin credit. He said it was the first time he's ever seen the Wyatt super creepy and super effective. Like, he had chills about what the Wyatts were in a segment.
Yeah.
And on that front, he's absolutely right. I was really – they made the Wyatts look good when the lights came on and the trucks roll around. That's a good point on that, but it's hard to watch it and not think – a final deletion, and I just don't care what anyone says. There's no way that they weren't influenced by that, Joel.
Yeah, no, they definitely were. And it you know, you kind of saw some Twitter beef between Hardy and Bray.
Did you?
Yeah, there's a little bit, but nothing.
Did that affect your viewing of the match?
A little bit.
Of the statement, because all you could think of was the new deletion?
Yeah. I'm waiting for the Hardy logo to catch fire.
Yeah.
What
was the beef about? Was Hardy saying you stole this from me?
I think Bray had tweeted out, I'm trying to remember, but Bray basically said that he's a creator and he's creative. He's a creative genius, and that kind of set things off between the two. So that's where that kind of stemmed from.
Well, I mean, it was something, but I didn't like either that, like, the New Day was on the SB red carpet, like, the day after.
Yeah, but can you're between...
I'm being old school with that, by the way.
It's definitely a very old school way, but, I mean, they had quite the presence at the SBs, and I can't see them changing that because of the storyline.
Mm-hmm. It's a little disrespectful from some of the snaps that Xavier had. Talking over Craig Sager during his speak.
speech. I thought some of their stuff was a little immature and some a little childish with some of the times they were talking over some sensitive speeches that were going on.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. It's not their type of thing. They're just there because of what they are. And I think that the New Day will be drafted as a unit.
Yeah.
Because the Tag Champs and watching back the old draft from 2002, Billy and Chuck were the Tag Champs and drafted together. The question for me as far as stuff, we're going to be talking pretty draft heavy here, is unless you have any more things about the New Day and the Wyatts.
No.
Can the club be drafted as one? Or is it just going to be like Anderson and Gallows will be drafted separately and end up where AJ is?
I don't know. The club's going to be very interesting because I think you have to have them together, but at the same time...
Because, like, the NWO got drafted, right?
Yeah.
Will the club be a package? Like, can you draft the club so you get AJ and Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson together? And for all intents and purposes, when we do our draft, everyone is separate except for the New Day, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It's...
If you go by the WWE's fantasy draft thing, they have everybody separated.
I think that's a telltale sign.
So you could have the New Day separated, which that's like there's a lot of the tag teams in here that it's like sure if they break up the Vaudevillains, who cares?
Yeah,
I'd like to see Aiden English. I don't think it's good for Simon Gotch.
Yeah,
but I think Aiden English has a potential chance for a single run. It's going to have to work because he hasn't been a singles star for a while, but I think he has a decent potential. I like Aiden English, but I think there's going to be a few tag teams broken up. There's one in particular that both of us want broken up, and the Dudleys and the Lucha and the Dudleys. I think it's both time to do it, but there's some teams like the Usos. Neither one of them ever really stick out to me. They kind of seem like they need to be together as far as I'm concerned.
And I think they'll be drafted together. So
And you need to have teams
together.
The other thing we found out, so we know now what we had thought. Shane is SmackDown, Stephanie's that. They're the CEOs or the commissioners, whatever. And we need two GMs. It's seeming like there was a leak and that Daniel Bryan is going to be the commissioner or the GM, sorry, for SmackDown. And then for Raw, we don't know yet, but we have a few people that we listed off for both shows, really. I think there's, five people we've said together?
There's definitely five people that are options. I don't know how much I buy into the leak yet. I kind of want to see how things play out.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Bryan in my life is not a bad thing at all.
Do you think Stephanie picks Triple H to have the power couple there? Or do you want to have him underneath her as far as power goes?
I want Steph and Hunter to be equals.
Mm-hmm.
And let them be there, and then I really want Bischoff back.
Me too.
I think that could be a fun little thing where she brings in Eric Bischoff, and then they let Bischoff run the rampant, because you need one heel and one face, and if you're strongly leaning towards Brian, you're going to need the other one to be a heel, so...
I agree.
And I think Brian can have some fun segments with everyone.
What do you think about the new SmackDown logo and name? It seems like they're going with SmackDown Live.
I'm okay, because SmackDown for the longest time has been taped.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time it was Friday Night SmackDown, Thursday Night SmackDown. SmackDown Live works fine with me. I don't know how much Tuesday Night SmackDown rolls off your tongue, so SmackDown
That's true.
Live.
Do you like the new logo?
Yeah. I think it's a decent design.
I think it's about time to change the logo. The SmackDown logo has kind of been the same for so many years, right?
Yeah, the blue and the white. So
yeah,
give it a little bit of a spit shine. And
some people are comparing it to Impact.
Of course.
And it's pretty. It's. I'll send you a pic really quick here. I have a side by side of it. They're pretty identical. I'm sending the picture to you right now, but the more I look at the two of them, it should have been sent now. They're pretty identical to each other.
Yeah, they definitely have some similarities, but they also have some differences. So
yeah, I mean, WWE's getting kind of criticized for ripping stuff off, but hey, man, this is wrestling. Everything gets ripped off.
Yeah, so I think it's just, you know, it has its similarities, but the font's different. The placement is different. Like, the placement's similar, but at the same time, you know, it's a bit of a sleeker look. I mean, they have a darker blue than SmackDown. You know, I can see the similarities, but at the same time, it's still the SmackDown logo. And I really don't care about TNA, so there's that too.
So we don't know Brian for sure. So I'm just going to – I think you agree with me with the five GMs. We've kind of talked about this off air. Eric Bischoff – although the thing with Eric Bischoff now, he's going to be at What Culture in July and August. That makes me wonder if he will be there at all, because why would he agree to do something with What Culture?
Yeah, that's true.
So I think he is now maybe off the table. Let's just swerve. Kurt's name has been put around there for the GM.
Kurt's name's always around for everything WWE. Kurt will be here.
Yeah. There. So do we put Kurt in there, or do we not know? I think if you're going to see Kurt, it's going to be not this Monday, but the Monday after at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, where you'll be at the Killing Joke, and I'll be at work.
Yeah, so we're going to miss that. But I wouldn't mind Kurt that. I mean, Foley's name you got to put there. You know, Noel's going to be working in the company. His son works one of the writing teams. I don't know. Do you know what team Dewey's going to be on? Is he going to be on SmackDown or Raw?
I don't know.
But, you know, regardless, his son's going to be on one of the writing teams. So it could be Dewey. I like the idea of Brian as a GM, especially with the Cruiserweight Classic, where he can kind of scout talent and offer them a contract.
Yeah.
I like that kind of idea of the scouting. And if Triple H is the Raw one, and you have both people at the Cruiserweight, and they're both kind of scouting and looking for talent to bring to their rosters, and you add an extra element that both GMs are constantly down at the Cruiserweight thing, and you can kind of see a tension between Brian and Hunter. Obviously, it can't lead to a match, but you can build something with the two of them and the Cruiserweight talent that adds extra eyeballs to it.
Yeah, I definitely think that it helps. It helps bring, like, I totally agree with everything you say. It's basically, it's a smart move. Do they do it? I have my doubts, but I definitely think, like, Brian's even hinted at the Cruiserweight title coming back. Mm-hmm. I can see it coming back for SmackDown.
I could too.
And then the women's title. And that could be the thing, the Cruiserweights again on SmackDown, the women are Raw.
Yeah, well, you and I, I had talked about where I think you could give that extra hour just to the women and just have a women-only show. And then it like, I will say, going back and watching that 2002 draft, I found it much easier of a watch to have that 2 hours. There were squash matches. The matches didn't get dragged. I mean, if you like wrestling, it's not as fun of a show because there was two-minute matches in there, which kind of suck. And you have talented guys now. You had talented guys back then too, but it'd be hard to watch, let's say, Nakamura comes up. And to watch Nakamura do a two-minute match would be gutting.
Oh, yeah.
He's just so much better. NXT. Yeah, we're going to get to that really quick here. So anything else really from Raw? Nothing really too much. Shasta John Cena from flying all the way out to there from L.A.
Doesn't shock me anymore. Nothing that man does shock me anymore. You know how there's, like, the motivational videos and those motivational speeches? You really just need to look at a picture of John Cena. He is the epitome of the hard work and grind to get where you are. John Cena worked his way up from a crappy gimmick, from no gimmick, to almost being cut, to being saved by a stupid Halloween segment,
yeah,
being placed in a rapper gimmick, and just grinding day in and day out and working his ass off to get to the next level. And he's always constantly working to get to that next level. Am I shocked he took a flight and did a two-minute segment that, you know, he's helping to put over the end zone cast? He's helping elevate them. You're mentioning in the same breath that John Cena. That elevates you to a lot of people. So, nothing this man does me. And in all honesty, he is the epitome. He's the pinnacle of what hard work and determination can do. Because he's good in the ring, but he's not great. He's a good talker, but he can get really silly.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, someway, through everything he's done, he has gotten to that point.
He has. It was just a lot of respect for him. Also on Raw, we saw a little bit of a push of some of the mid-card talent.
Yeah.
Darren Young, Zack Ryder, and Titus, and you can tell they're kind of putting the wheels in motion. Although I didn't like Zack losing to Sheamus. That made no sense.
Yeah.
But you can tell they're putting the wheels in motion because they need these mid-card guys to be ready. Breeze Dango, also one. You need them to be ready for SmackDown because they're going to be upper mid-card guys. It's hard to think that Zack Ryder will be, but he'll be an upper mid-card guy whatever show he goes to.
Yeah.
So it's and I like where they're going with him in Rusev. We've talked a million times about him overcoming the odds, but I like what they're doing with Darren Young and Bob Backlund. The celebration was really good. They had a pretty good segment on SmackDown.
I heard that Meltzer and Alvarez did not like it.
No?
No, I heard that they weren't fans of it. But here's in a time where you've got a lot of hope, and you're like, I really hope things work out. This is probably a good thing that they're elevating these guys, so I think you just need to let it go and just let it be. So apparently, Josh, we have a little bit of breaking news. Now, this is from one of the Dirt Sheet websites, so we will see, because this is very interesting, but basically the gist of it, I just need to read this for a second, so hype it up a bit for me of what this magically could be. Take some guesses at what it could be.
Well, there's a rumor I know that's going around that I was going to save for the draft, so I guess I'll ruin it now, that the NXT tapings happened and two performers weren't on it.
Which two performers?
Nia and Finn.
Yeah, I can see that.
Was that the news?
Helps.
Was that the news?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's apparently details coming out that WWE feels they have legal muscle to successfully get throughout, but they're afraid of legal positioning that would take. Basically, it seems like WWE thinks that they've agreed in principle to signing Ricochet. Agreed in principle. The biggest thing right now is the contract and the legality of everything.
Well, that's not big at all.
No.
Wow.
They're afraid. Right now, they're afraid of the legal positioning.
Because of what Lucha has, right?
Yeah. But WWE's willing to wait until the fall of 2017 to get Ricochet.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to be a megastar with them.
Yeah. But if Lucha messed around, or basically it seems like Lucha could force a non-compete into 2018, in which WWE would fight it.
I wonder if they could make a deal. The thing is, like, who's is Conan still in charge with Lucha Underground?
I think so.
Because he would be a dick about it.
Yeah. But that's the rumor. But at the same time, you gotta sit there and...
Who's reporting this?
It is Richard Gray of the Wrestling News World.
Uh-huh.
So, don't know. We'll wait and see. This is the biggest thing with this is... I don't know. The Ricochet thing is such mucky waters, especially now finding out they have to wait till fall 2017, which they're more than willing to do.
Yeah, because they have to wait, apparently, for all the Lucha stuff. Here's my thing. So you want to wait for all the Lucha stuff to get taped, I guess, because of how Lucha is.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you benefit from having him in the WWE and being like, hey, this guy's still here? But I guess it's kind of, you know, the results with what Prince Puma is, right?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, there's the two biggest free agents right now for them are Ricochet and Will Ospreay, and Will Ospreay still needs to get some meat on him and still learn a little bit. Yeah. We've been talking about that. Like, Will Ospreay's not ready for WWE. Ricochet has everything. He has the charisma, he has the look, and he has the talent in the ring. Ricochet is the remake of The Rock's mixed with AJ Styles,
which is a very scary combination.
Yeah, it's very like you can print money with Ricochet.
Oh yeah. And that's one thing where if you can get him, like, and I definitely think I could see a world where WWE fights through and wants to really get a hold of him, because they've come a time now where Ricochet and Will Ospreay had bigger buzz than any of their guys.
I wonder if you could do
a deal,
some kind of deal like they did with UFC, and they kind of just like, we'll give you blah 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 for Lucha.
Who would you give up?
What if they said, hey, we'll let AJ Styles go on a show?
Yeah. You know what
they, we'll let Cesaro, Samoa Joe go on one of your shows. We'll let Alberto Del Rio. We'll let Sin Cara. We'll let Kalisto.
You know what they could do as something that's not too big, but at the same time could be good, is they could say, what we could do is next year's Cruiserweight Classic, you offer them a 15-second ad spot and one of their guys in the tournament.
Yeah, there you go.
They would at least get somewhat through.
Yeah.
I don't get why they don't do that, where they run, they work out.
Yeah, because Ring of Honor gets the free publicity, and same with New Japan.
Yeah.
Like a guy like Cedric Alexander, they even mentioned on air during the Cruiserweight Classic that he gave up money in Ring of Honor to be in the Cruiserweight Classic, and that's just really a time to the side of the change of the chains. And what's really great about the commentary for the Cruiserweight Classic is that that's a story I didn't know, and it's a real-life story. He gave up money in Ring of Honor to be in the Cruiserweight Classic, and that just made me like Cedric Alexander that much more, and it's just realism to it. You care about this character, and it adds to commentary, and it adds to the match, and you hear real-life stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you, but I have a little bit more news for you, Josh.
Okay.
So, here's something. This is also from Richard Gray.
Anything Kurt?
No.
No, okay.
So, the Rollins Report segment was obviously a rib at Roman.
Yep.
And while it's being used to promote the triple threat match at WWE Battleground, there's more to this. Vince is still upset with Reigns.
Yes!
And the segment, this was directed at Roman, that, and Roman's failure came at a time when Vince's support for Reigns as the guy had begun to dwindle.
Uh-oh.
So, Josh, I think our little friend's a little bit in trouble.
And Vince has a new plaything too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
His name is AJ Styles.
Well, he also has another plaything named Big Cass, so.
Ah, there's that as well.
Yeah, but I think he's very enamored with AJ.
Would you rather have Big Cass or Roman on top? I'd rather have Roman, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I think Roman's a bit better.
It's the lesser of two evils.
That'll be the first time we ever say that on air.
Yeah.
But I think AJ's a plaything for Vince. I think
Cass is just a remix of Test to me.
Yeah.
And Test, like, I don't, like, Roman can, I think the thing that helped Roman is he could go in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say Roman sucked in the ring because he had good matches.
Yeah.
Cass is pretty bad on the ring, and he's subpar on the mic.
Yeah. I think Vince sees a bright future for Mr. AJ Styles.
I think so, too, but if he gets a look at Ricochet... Oh boy!
If they get a, could you imagine if they get a hold of Will Ospreay and Ricochet at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, and that do you think they want to try to get Ricochet for the end of the year? Then is that what they're trying to do? They're trying to, but
for fall 2017.
Okay, so they're not getting him until next year.
Yeah. But
okay.
If we live in a world where suddenly they decide, you know what? Screw it, guys. 20-minute segment, Will Ospreay, Ricochet debut match. Have at it.
And Will's contract is up 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the thing, Josh. I almost called you Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with this is this Cruiserweight Classic gains subtraction. I can see a world where Hunter convinces Vince it's best for business to work some deals out with an ROH, a New Japan, a Lucha, a CMLL, because WWE has nothing to lose. None of these companies that they would be supplying their talent would harm the ratings for WWE. In fact, it would increase the ratings because people wouldn't believe it until they saw it. And not only that, but suddenly you can get into these talents' ears and go, you know, see, this is the world that you could live in, but you just have to come and sign with us. So, you know, I can't... I'm sure there are some negative notes to this, but I can't see a reason why it wouldn't make business sense to start offering some spots for an ROH talent, Lucha. And that could be big draws because you could be like, our guy's going to be there. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a guy like, I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name, the light heavyweight champion in New Japan right now.
Even a guy like Bobby Fish, for example.
Yeah. Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly. You could go on and on. There's plenty of guys that would be extremely valuable to have in this tournament. You have the no-names, but you have a couple spots for some of these guys. You give them a little bit of ad time that helps the company out. And you're not... I don't think you would breed the competition and make ROH bigger. Because ROH is what ROH is.
Mm-hmm.
New Japan will always be big in Japan.
By the way, you're making some good points there. One thing I wanted to add, too, as far as transactions, we talked about TNA. They did add an addition to their roster. And they added Moose.
I'm not shocked.
Which, phrase WWE, they stayed away because of the domestic stuff.
Yeah.
But again, it shows the more desperation side of... do you think that they would ever look at a guy like Moose again? Or is just the domestic stuff just kind of scare them away with the recent Adam Rose stuff?
The recent stuff scared them away.
Do you think it's the... So after his... He's only signed a one-year deal. And you think like this time next summer, then they'll consider him again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely take a look.
I just wanted to get that in there in case we forgot. But I love what you're saying there. I think it's you know, you look at some of those guys, like again, like a Bobby Fish, who's in Japan and that, and you can be like, hey, you know, Bobby Fish is here, and he's trying to get a WWE contract, but you can still see him fight in New Japan and Ring of Honor. I think it's the unity of all these companies together. It can really work. But again, it kind of be weird in a way, Joel, you bring it up. It's kind of Hunter redoing what Vince did in a way, a weird way, right? It's having the Wrestling Alliance kind of come back again, where Vince separated the Wrestling Alliance. Hunter is kind of slowly bringing the Alliance back together with Ring of Honor and Japan and CMML. And it kind of just seems like TNA and Lucha are kind of on the outside of everybody right now.
And the biggest thing with this is it benefits us, but it gives the casual fans something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other flip side, is you have the casual fans that are like, I don't watch ROH, I don't watch New Japan, but when you see these guys in WWE, and like, what's his name? The guy that won his first match. The, Gran Malouk?
Oh, the Luchador.
Yeah.
Oh, he was great. He surprised me. But even the dude that was in there from, I think he was from...
Chile,
he was really good too. That was a really good match.
Yeah, I thought he was a solid heel.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing that you can do, is you can, and I know it's the NXT smarky indie crowd that's there for these shows, but if you have some of these guys wrestle on a Raw in a Chicago, you get a big pop, you get something that feels big. And I think when we look back in history, this year's Royal Rumble, the third entrance, is going to be a big reason why we live in the world that we do right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think his reaction, his work rate, what he's done for the company, everything that AJ has touched has more or less turned to gold for the most part.
I kind of put AJ, you know, they showed these cruiserweights over the years, right? And there's two that was missing. And it was Benoit and Punk.
Yeah.
But you talk about this renaissance that we talked about. Punk really started this off. There's no Daniel Bryan in the WWE without CM Punk.
Yeah.
But I think AJ is now kind of on the list of those big three that's really going to change the game when we look back at it.
Oh, yeah.
Of what the WWE changed their image. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and AJ Styles. really changed the landscape of the company.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, Hunter had said that he's been working on his cruiserweight for a long time. But and you talk about the crowd, too. I would agree. I love to see these in front of a different crowd. In fact, I know that the finals go all the way to September. I would have liked the final match to have been at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But it won't be. But I would have liked to have the final match, which seems like it's going to be. I've seen a few people put their brackets pick Johnny Gargano. And I like that it's him versus Ciampa. But I think Gargano and him will be out because they'll be busy at Brooklyn for the tag titles.
Yeah.
But I think we're doomed. We're not doomed, but we're going to have Kota versus Zach in the finals.
And I think it'll be a fine match.
Mm-hmm.
And
sorry to interrupt you, but I'd like too that Brian has told the story too that like you look with Daivari, for example, that all cruiserweights aren't high flyers. That there some of them are technically savvy. The Frenchman as well. I can't remember his name, but I really liked his style quite a bit. And I'm mad that I don't get to see more of him because he does remind me quite a lot of Lance Storm and the way that he performed.
Yeah. Well, he was trained by Lance, so that helped.
Yeah. Well, you can see the influence by Lance. Even more than you can see in Tyler Breeze. You could see it in I think it was Paulette.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could see it in him quite a bit. You could see the Lance influence.
Yeah. And I think I definitely see that. I mean, Cedric Alexander is a name that I've heard for at least a couple years, mm-hmm. just through the dirt sheets of a guy that has been impressive. I mean, I can't wait to see Rich Swann.
Yeah, the only thing that sucks for Cedric is that he has to face Kota next round in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And you know Kota's not going out that early.
No way. I can see Zach winning over Kota because Kota's still being a little, I don't want to sign, which is totally his choice.
Yeah.
And I could see them going with Zach, but I think...
There's no way that he, like, if it gets to the final four, and let's say Johnny Gargano faces him, I could be like, okay, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But not until the final four could I see Kota losing.
Yeah. But I can see them wanting to, because everyone's been in their ear about signing Kota. So that's another big thing is you want to kind of get him in the fold and want to show that he'll be treated right. I could, you know, watching the Kota match, I could see him in the ring with Roman. I could see him in the ring with Cena.
Mm-hmm. I like too that no one's really spoiled anything. The results, like the world has been spoiled, but no one said anything, right?
Yeah.
And to your point, yeah, I could see Kota with a lot of those main guys.
Which would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But the tournament has a nice feel to it. Some of the matches a little but all in all, this is the biggest thing is this is a change in the business.
It is, and it's, you know, for these guys, a lot of these guys too aren't going to sign with WWE. I think, I don't even think half will, right?
No.
But, you know, for some of these guys, example with the guy from France, for example, had a nice strong showing. Maybe TNA sees him and like, hey, we liked you. We want to sign you. Maybe Lucha Underground sees a guy. Maybe Ring of Honor sees a guy. Japan sees a guy. They kind of had these guys on the radar, but they really impressed them in that short amount of time. This isn't just a WWE audition. This is a global audition. You're on the WWE network. So you're helping all these indie guys that don't get as much shine. They have 3 minutes or so to really prove themselves and get that shine. The guy from American Samoa that faced Kota really impressed me. Mm-hmm. I would maybe think he might get a WWE contract because of his family. But, again, TNA could be like, huh, we should take a chance on this guy. And if I were TNA, if you're watching this, Joel, you're trying to figure out which one of these guys is not signed by WWE and signing them because why not take a chance? They worked for EC3. May as well try with one of these guys, right?
Yeah. But if I'm WWE, I'm signing at least a couple of these guys.
Right for sure. I don't think you're trying to let Zach go.
Yeah, you don't let Zach go, and you don't let Kota go. You don't let the Grand...
I think, yeah, whatever his name is. He could be your new Rey.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried it with Kalisto, and it hasn't really worked. We'll see what happens with the Branson with Kalisto. It didn't work with Sin Cara. They've been trying to find the new Rey Mysterio for the longest time. And they haven't been able to get it. Yeah.
He could easily be it. I mean, Cedric.
He did stuff I've never seen, Joel. He did stuff like the Grand Malake or whatever.
Yeah.
He had done stuff I've never seen.
Yeah. And that's always a good thing.
And it was such a short span he had. There's some draws, too, that I'm not happy with. Like I talked about the second round with Cedric versus Kota. I mean, the match. I'm looking forward to Cedric versus Kota. I would have liked Cedric to go a little further. I don't like Tyson Dukes for Zach. Like, give Tyson Dukes a little bit more time. You know, he's a good hand. He would have been better to face someone else. It's going to be one of the better first-round matchups, Tyson Dukes for Zach. It just sucks that Tyson Dukes gets stuck there. And I would have liked maybe, like, backup seeded rounds. Maybe you can work your way back in the tournament or something.
Yeah.
To see more of these guys fight instead of just the one and done.
I think the biggest thing with this is I think that there's a lot... it's really hard because there's a lot of guys you want to see and you're not going to get to see a lot of. But if they perform well enough, I can see when they get to kind of like the final four, mm-hmm. they're going to need some filler content, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple matches here and there could easily happen.
We just had the Olympic qualifying for basketball, for example. I would have kind of groups, Joel.
The Super Juniors.
Yeah, I would have kind of groups and point systems and stuff, and then maybe go to a bracket from there afterwards. But you get to see more of the, like that French guy quite a bit. But I could see he loses that match, but I know, okay, he's not done. He can still go. And then, because I started to build a rooting interest for some of these guys. But again, even like Cedric, I built a rooting interest. I know he's going to face Kota and lose.
Yeah.
So now my interest is like, well, I guess I'll just watch Cedric for that match instead of kind of watching Cedric slowly progress, kind of like Will, right? Will kind of slowly progressed and Will finally won because of just what happened, and they need something a little bit like that. But you know, it's on the right path, and I, you know, they had a tease on the network about more tournaments coming, so I wouldn't be shocked if that women's one we had talked about will be on the way, and maybe we see like the likes of a Velvet Sky and Angelina Love in it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the possibilities of women tournament and just the overall presentation and the way it's being done. I love it.
I will say I would have gone with a few more known names in the first episode. Kota Ibushi is great and he's definitely known, but I think a guy like Brian Kendrick or Jujari are more known North American wise. And I think you would have, at least if you would have gone in there and said Jujari was wrestling, people were like, oh, I know him from the Attitude Era, and maybe tuned in. Yeah. If he was one of the first matches, he's on the next week's episode. That's great. I think maybe you should have done that to help lead in. I didn't have a problem with it. I liked the Daivari match was meh.
Yeah.
Who did Daivari face in that? Was it Cedric?
No, it was Ho-Ho.
Yeah, that match was probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
But the other three I really liked. I liked the first match the most, to be honest.
I like Kota.
Kota was good too. I thought that the Grand, we got to learn his damn name, Joel.
Yes, we do.
He really impressed me, and so did the guy that he was in the ring with. It's again another guy. I was like, oh, I wish he would have gone farther. The guy from Chile.
I think they can adapt the New Japan way of doing things, which would be great. But all in all, I think it's a treat getting to see some of these guys that you never get to see.
Mm-hmm.
They have a spotlight. They have a canvas to show why they deserve to be seen more or have a contract or be in NXT and maybe even one day make it onto the main roster. I can see Cedric Alexander on the main roster one day.
I guess, and you realize, Joel, not this week. You're going to have it, but next week, Sunday's a pay-per-view. Monday is the first Raw post-draft. Sunday, that Tuesday will be the first post-draft SmackDown, and then you have the Cruiserweight in NXT.
Well, there goes my life.
So WWE really, and then you're going to have pay-per-views every 2 weeks now, so they're really going to be taking up 4 days, generally speaking, and then if you add that you watch TNA, Arena of Honor, Japan, Rev Pro, whatever else, UFC, definitely building up a lot of stuff there. I would like to see... also with the Cruiserweight, maybe a match or two at Brooklyn even.
Yeah.
I think that would help as well. I don't know. I'm not reading the spoilers, so I don't know where they are. And you're staying away from the spoilers as well. And I'm actually not even going to your NXT spoilers now because I'm worried about seeing the cruiserweight spoilers.
Yeah.
So that's the one element I wish I had. It was kind of the live element to it, which was why I wouldn't mind seeing it at a Brooklyn or a SummerSlam to get the live feel for some of these performers. And maybe that will happen at Brooklyn. I don't know yet. I would assume the main match, as we go into the next topic before we finish off with the draft stuff, is Nakamura versus Joe.
Yeah. I think that's where they're headed. I mean, to hit on it quickly, I enjoyed the Finn and Nock match. I thought it was a good match. I think they overhyped it a little bit. But at the same time, I thought it was a good match. I enjoyed it. And, I mean, if this is how Finn goes out, it's how Finn goes out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good way to close it off. You could see that there was some emotion between Nock and Finn, so I definitely think this is the end of the reign of Balor.
Bobby Roode was on the taping tonight, by the way.
Not shocked.
So Bobby Roode is there now. He's going to be on television in NXT, so he's in the next level. And I just want to double check if we had a Deo at tapings tonight.
I can't.
It sounds like he was there on tapings as well.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. I think that he's definitely he's a good hand to have back again. And I think the big concern about that roster getting raided, I think they have enough depth that they're going to be fine.
I wonder who he faces. Maybe he faces Bobby Roode.
Yeah, it's totally possible. I do think. I think what we get is Joe drops the title to Nock because it doesn't matter how long the reign is.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nock versus Hideo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, the thing is, just even Googling or Twitter searching these, all the NXT stuff has the spoilers for Cruiserweight, and it gives you a warning of it. So you kind of have to tweet out Bobby Roode or Hideo Itami, and it's confirmed that both of them are on the tapings.
Okay.
And that we have the Brooklyn matches confirmed, but they can't. You can't go without the Cruiserweight stuff. Anyways, that Wednesday slot, really enjoying it. And I guess it's time for Finn to come up.
Yep, it's time.
Do you see him on Monday, or do you see him get drafted?
Drafted.
Okay. So speaking of that, Joel, it's draft time.
Oh, boy.
So we flipped a coin beforehand, and Joel won. So Joel will be going first. And Joel gets to pick the brand that he wants as well.
So it's SmackDown.
You son of a gun.
And with my first... Is this... Now, my question, just to clarify, is this what I think they'll do or what I want to
do? No, we're going to do... We'll talk after maybe really quick. But this is what we want for our own draft.
Okay, then my first pick is... Ooh, this is a bit tricky. Crap. Ah, hell with it. I take Seth Rollins.
Ah, yeah. I think that's... as far as mocking goes, I love talking about this. This is someone that loves drafts and has done NBA and NFL. Seth seems to be atop of most people's lands. The WWE has a number two ranked. For my pick, with the first pick to Monday Night Raw, I select the phenomenal AJ Styles.
I knew if I passed on Seth, I don't get AJ.
No.
Well, I guess with my second pick, I take the man that won at UFC 200, Brock Lesnar.
You bastard. You son of a bitch. Okay. Well, with the second pick, Monday Night Josh picks the 15-time World Heavyweight Champion, Big Game John Cena.
Damn you.
We should be writing these down.
I am.
Okay.
Let me just make sure.
Everyone else, the Law and Cheap Heat, have gone 20, and I think we can get 20 done pretty fast if we're rapid firing like this.
I'm staying with 10.
Okay, next.
All right, to hell with it. I'll take Finn Balor.
Wow. Impressive. With my third pick, I will take the WWE champion, Dean Ambrose.
That's cool. Cool. With my fourth pick, I shall take the boss.
You mother... Are you gonna take her? I thought I could pass it up. Son of a bitch. Alright, well, with my next pick, the fourth pick, I will take the women's champion, Charlotte.
Still not better than Sasha Banks.
No, I hate you right now.
With my fifth pick... Oh. I'm looking here. I don't want to touch him because he's on decline. I'm just thinking of the roster. I think I'm going to take Ruru. Yeah, Ruru.
That's not bad. With my fifth pick, I'm going to say positive. And I'm going to take the New Day. You took the boss. I take your take team. So I got three champions.
That's cool. They're probably all going to lose their championship soon. So have fun with that.
I will.
You know what? You can have AJ, but I'm taking the Good Brothers.
Interesting. We're going to have them as a package then?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I think we only keep... with my sixth pick, I take Roman Reigns.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. That's just a nice, perfect area for him.
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's a top 10 pick. He has to be picked.
Yeah. Number seven, KO Mania.
Not bad. Number seven for me, I take Shinsuke Nakamura.
See, I had a feeling you were going to do that. And because I took Finn, I was like, oh, I don't have Shinsuke. Eight, I'm going to take KO's best friend, Sami Zayn.
Number eight for me, I'm taking a tag team, American Alpha. That one hurt, didn't it?
Damn you. Nine. Can I have like a 30-second timeout to look at something?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Woo! I'm trying to see what will hurt you the most.
You did the one that was going to hurt me the most. Because I was, ready to go Dean to Sasha. I was ready to go. I was like, I'm going to take Sasha right here. I'm like, no, I can get Dean and I can get him. He's not going to take Sasha that early.
Oh, with the ninth pick, I take Samoa Joe.
Ah, you bastard. He wasn't on my mind yet, but he was up there. With the ninth pick, so Charlotte's got, I got the women's title. Yeah. So she needs to feud with someone. I choose Nikki Bella.
That's the one I should have taken.
Mm-hmm.
That would have hurt.
Yeah. And you can't take Brie because she's retired.
No Brie mode. I'm looking and I'm kind of like, who would be a good one to have? You know, with a 10th pick, I want someone that, you know, he doesn't need to be there every night. I gotta give it to him. I'm gonna take the dead man, the Undertaker.
I'm gonna stay spooky. I'm gonna take the Wyatts.
10 picks.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your team?
I feel pretty good, actually.
Not as good as mine, because I have Sasha Banks, but that's the nice.
I got AJ, and Cena, and Roman, and Dean.
The Cena and AJ hurt. I only picked Cena first.
Yeah, picks that were left off the table. Cesaro wasn't picked.
Yeah.
Alberto Del Rio, Jericho, I none of us really wanted to go for those extra guys.
Yeah.
It was a lot of the, and I got Nakamura too, so I got Nakamura and AJ fighting each other. And I got the tag team champions; they can face American Alpha. And I got, and Sasha, that sucks, but I can have Nikki and Charlotte with the rematch comeback story for Nikki.
There you go.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
As far as what they are going to do, we don't know who has the first pick yet.
Yeah.
I think we can both agree that Seth, so they have the top 73 picks on their mock draft listed here. I'm just going to give the top 10 they have and tell me if you agree higher or lower where they deserve to go, and then we're going to get out of here. So Cena's ranked number one.
Lower.
And then AJ's ranked number two.
I hate to say it, but a little lower.
And then Seth is three. I think
Seth is higher.
I think Seth is one.
Yeah.
And then AJ and Cena can rotate, but those really seem like the top three.
Yeah.
And then Dean is the fourth, and then Roman is the fifth.
Yep.
They have Taker sixth.
I'm not shocked. It's still, it. At the end of the day, it's that loyalty factor.
And the Taker's a risky one. It's a risky pick, right? Because you don't know. But, yeah. And then Brock is seventh. So they had the back-to-back risky picks. Guy, neither one of us drafted, Randy Orton.
He's been out of our mind. I think once he pops up, he pops back into everyone's mind again, especially with the build to the Brock match. But, yeah.
The ninth ranked on the mock draft, the highest ranked woman, who do you think it is?
Charlotte.
Nikki.
Really?
Charlotte is 10th, and Sasha's 11th.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Kofi. It's really just the New Day.
Yeah.
After that, KO's ranked 15th. Sami is 16th. Cesaro is 17th. Big Show is 18th. Kane is 19th. Jericho's 20th. Becky is 21, Paige is 22, Sheamus is 23, Del Rio 24, and they're on the 25, you have the Good Brothers. And so there's no one from NXT listed on this.
They want to save it.
Mm-hmm. But I more or less agree with that. So let's go back. What we're going to do, too, is we're going to put our picks onto Instagram. And then what I want to do, what we'll do, not on the air, but on the pod together, Joel, not on the way beforehand, we're going to come together and we're going to kind of both decide our own kind of mock draft. After we know what Stephanie and Shane do on Tuesday before the draft, we'll put up on the Facebook page, we'll have these draft orders so you can see who has a better order and vote and whatnot online and say who has the better draft order. But then together, after we know the coin toss and which GM is which, Joel and I will come together and make our own official mock draft of where we think both sides will go.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
So make sure you go on social media. We'll have the list up on there. Tell me who's better. Is Joel Live better or is Monday Night Jawa better?
It just works out so perfectly.
It does. So anything else, Joel?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Enjoy the draft. We know we will. We will be back after the draft on Tuesday for a draft podcast, maybe later on in the week, and hopefully back shooting the breeze this next week as well. Right, Joel?
Hopefully.
All right. Well, until next time, cheers.
Oh, Kota Ibushi's fantastic.
Enjoy the day, people.
Advances to the next round where he will face Cedric Alexander. Can you say instant classic?
This is what I wanted to see. Stuff like this. You see a coming out party for Sean Maluda, nearly pinning Kota Ibushi, and then Ibushi just proving why he's the best in the world.
It's about sportsmanship. It's about skills. It's about proving that you are the best cruiserweight on the planet. Thank you for watching the WWE Cruiserweight Classic.